Hello, welcome to Crossroads, the infrastructure podcast from InfraLogic. I am your host, Eva Llorens. Today, we have as our guest, attorney Manuel Quinche, partner at the Colombian offices of the global law firm Cuatro Casas. Mr. Quinche is an expert in project structuring, project financing, infrastructure, energy, mergers and acquisitions. He knows everything. He provides advice in all types of projects. He is also a professor of corporate finance. He has a law degree from Rosario University in Colombia, a postgraduate degree in commercial law from Andes University in Colombia, also, and a master's of laws in corporate law from New York University. And he has been a recipient of numerous awards, including Lawyer of the Year. Welcome, Manuel, to our podcast.
Thank you, Eva. This is a great opportunity to meet you again.
Manuel, there have been concerns about delays faced by in 4G and 5G highway concessions in Colombia. We would like for you to shed some light for us as to what is happening, what is the problem. What are the main factors contributing to these delays in highway concessions?
Sure, Eva. Before answering, I would start by saying that the 4G program in Colombia has been an unprecedented success. And to be honest, it's not only a success for Colombia, but also a success for the region. And there's some interesting data to give you context on why I think this has been a true success for Colombia. As you probably know, and the audience knows, the 4G program comprises the construction or rehabilitation of approximately 30-something toll roads. These are, in other words, more than 6,000 kilometers of roads. And up to date, the 4G program has brought to Colombia approximately $130 billion in investments. And at this point in time, construction progress is about 91%, 92%. The program has created more than 100,000 jobs. And I wanted to say this because, of course, when we talk about delays in the program, sounds like it has been a failure, but it hasn't. In reality, it's a true success for Colombia. Taking now your question, I guess that as any massive infrastructure program, 4G has faced several challenges that at times had delayed construction, at times have resulted in conflicts with ANI or the government, and at times has resulted in fears and concerns for investors. To name some of the issues, I would start with the most obvious one, which is the Colombian complex geography and engineering challenges. Doing construction works in Colombia, and specifically toll roads, is not an easy task. Colombia does have a very complex geography, and that explains the reason why, for instance, there have been construction delays. We have a difficult terrain that includes mountainous regions and areas with heavy rainfall, for instance, that complicates construction a lot. And that has created the need, for instance, for extensive tunnels, bridges, and really many technical challenges for construction. Out of these, I would say, of course, as you know, there are international companies doing construction in the 4G program, but also Colombian local companies, and that's important. That's one of the successes as well, both for the international engineering companies, but the local companies that have been able to deal with all these challenges. When we talk about 91% of progress, we are talking about that construction overall has been a success, even though the construction issues. We have also faced institutional legal framework issues. As you probably know, earlier generations of road concessions in Colombia suffered from poorly structured contracts, imbalanced risk allocation, and opportunities for frequent renegotiations. The 4G program introduced, as you know, a more standardized P3 contracts and improved risk allocation, but needless to say, legacy issues and the need for further institutional strengthening have still contributed to implementation slowdowns. We also faced, as part of these delays, as you can imagine, there were financing and currency risk. Securing sufficient and timely financing for this program has been a persistent challenge. The 4G program is a large-scale program that requires or has required an estimated investment of more than $24 billion. And at the end of the day, it is heavily dependent on both international and local financial markets that, over the course of the past 10 years, as you probably can imagine, are markets that have faced significant challenges. Also, fluctuations in the Colombian peso and exposure to local currency risk have made international financing less predictable. And as you can imagine, also the financial capacity of local banks and the need to move for mobilizing the pension funds have been critical factors. And of course, I wouldn't say they do have created delays, but because they didn't. But at the end of the day, posed very specific challenge, for instance, for the pension funds to invest in these projects. One additional factor of difficulties for the 4G program, and really for any concession program, it's the Colombian overall fiscal pressure. As you know, the rating agencies are talking about these days, especially because Colombia is facing a problem on this, and fiscal reforms are needed. So with that in mind, of course, that slows down project implementation because simply they need to have a clear fiscal framework and availability of resources to undertake these projects. In addition to this, and this is something that we are facing right now, is that we are having, let's say, delays in launching new projects. It was true that before Mr. Gustavo Petro took office as president, we were seeing a very good pipeline of toll road projects. That's not the reality these days. Those projects have really slowed down, and the National Infrastructure Agency has said at the end of the day that launching new toll road projects is not their priority. They are focusing on other types of projects, and probably that would continue to be the case until the end of the Petro government. So with that in mind, as I said before, there are challenges. But having said that, the program, when you look at it in its totality and the benefits that have resulted out of it, I would say it's been a total success. And remember, it does have a 91% of construction progress these days. So we are really almost reaching the other side of the tunnel.
I was going to ask you if you could provide some insight into the Colombian government, how has the Colombian government responded to some of these concerns or these challenges. You mentioned that concessions or that these type of projects have slowed down. So I'm just curious as to what are we going to see and what is going to be the Colombian government's response to that?
Let's start by saying that the current government has created a somehow difficult environment for concession projects in Colombia. As you have probably heard, and the audience have heard, before taking office and even after President Gustavo Petro took office, the government hasn't really been friendly to concession, and it has indicated their preference for major infrastructure projects to be conducted directly by the government and not really through concessions. At different times, the government has made announcements that if implemented will have resulted in serious material breaches to the concession contracts. Fortunately, I would say, the existing legal and contractual framework for concessions has stood in a way that concession contracts continue to be honored by the government as per their terms. And this is very important. This is not a minor thing, because sometimes when you hear all this noise around the toll road concessions and the government sort of opposing them in many ways or trying to reach to the accounts in trust to make available the monies that are supposed to go to concessions to other purposes. When that happens, of course, everybody gets nervous. There are a zillion questions about it, but the reality is that the legal framework and contractual framework for the 4G program has really stood up all those challenges. So, and that's very good news, because that shows that it was a very well structured program. I would say that assuming that Mr. Petro's current political party loses the forthcoming presidential elections, a new government takes office, to the extent that that new government would like to give continuity to the successes of the 4G concession program, it will have to do several things. First of all, it will have to strengthen the ANI. And the reason for that is because we've seen a slowdown in their activities. As I said before, we are seeing less and less projects. So we need to strengthen that institutional capacity that got somehow weakened during the Petro administration. Then, of course, an absolute need for the government to launch new concession programs. With that in mind, all fiscal pressures will need to be addressed, because you can launch the program and you can make roadshows around the world offering new concessions, but the reality is that if the government is not able to really solve the X on the equation on fiscal stability, it's going to be very difficult to sell these programs. We will need a government that improves coordination and oversight on these projects. And the reason for that is because, as you know, several, for instance, governmental entities and agencies are involved in these projects, and the environmental authorities, ANI, and other types of authorities. And to the extent they do not work in a coordinated fashion, that ends up, of course, delaying any program. So we will need to improve on that. And of course, take measures to attract global capital to these new projects that could be launched in the future. And those measures, of course, include having a government that is friendly to these types of infrastructures.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Quinche. I would like to change the topic a little bit and talk about the railway projects, because when Mr. Gustavo Petro took office, he said that he was going to bring back railways to Colombia. And what I have heard is that it has been a slow start in these sectors. It seems like the Governor Petro's railway projects are moving forward slowly. Could you give us some insight as to what do you think are the problems in that sector and what can we expect?
Sure. The railway sector, it's an interesting one. And let me also give you some historical context here, because we are facing a situation for the railway network in Colombia. The situation is that it has been historically underdeveloped, underutilized. And when you compare it to the road infrastructure that we just talked about, it's many years behind it. So we do have an issue there. These days, the total length of the railway network, it's approximately 3,000 kilometers, and it's primarily used for freight and especially coal transportation from the Cerrejón mines. Another aspect of the problems is that passenger rail services are almost non-existing, are minimal, and it's really limited to small tourist routes in the city of Bogota and some daily service around the city of Barranca Bermeja. I would say that the crisis of the sector started after a state-owned company called Ferrocarriles Nacionales de Colombia was liquidated in the 90s. And that really led to a decline in passenger and freight services. Since then, all we have had for the railway sector in Colombia has been really fragmented operations, super limited investments, and a focus, let's put it that way, on a very few profitable freight corridors. The issues there, as you can imagine, again, is a challenging geography, historical underinvestment, and a lack of integrated planning, no? So the sector has been for many years stagnated. Having said that, and going to your question, yes, when Mr. Petro took office, basically he said, no, that one of his focuses, or the government focus, would be to basically promote railway projects. Those, I would say, at the end of the day, have had problems, let's put it this way, in the stage of structuring. Some of them have had difficulties structuring their financial models and so on. And the level of production of these types of projects has been really, really, really slow. Today, what we have in front of us, it's really one project, which is La Dorada Chiriguaná railway project. That's a major infrastructure initiative for Colombia. We're talking about a freight corridor of approximately 500 kilometers. And that for Colombian standards, and by any standard, anyways, it's very, very important. On that, as you know, the project is being developed under a P3 structure. And in April this year, basically, the Colombian government executed the contract for the rehabilitation and modernization of the railway line. This investment, of course, is expected to significantly improve freight transport and efficiency. It would reduce logistic cost, and it will stimulate economic growth along the corridor. With this in mind, of course, this is what we have in front of us right now. The government has announced other initiatives. For instance, we have the Regiotram de Occidente, the Regiotram del Norte, the Tren de Cercanías del Valle, the Tren Intermodal, a high-speed train from between the cities of Medellin and Bogotá, and the Pacific Coast Railway network. It's hard to say at this point in time which one of those would be launched before President Petro leaves office. Having said that, the benefits of these projects are substantial, and we all hope that not only the Dorada Chiriguaná, we don't only wish them a real success because it's an important project, but we also, of course, see the need for basically reviving the railway sector in Colombia.
I would like to ask you about the airports, but before I do that, I want to ask you first about potential mergers and acquisitions in the infrastructure sector that we may see in the future as a result of what is going on in Colombia.
I believe, to be honest with you, that the next years, the name of the game, in essence, would be M&A activity in the infrastructure sector. And there are many reasons for that. One of them, that is not minor, as it happens in some other countries, construction companies, for instance, are very used to bid for projects and to win concessions and to basically structure them and finance them and so on. They are used to that. But they do have a different business. Their business is construction. To the extent that happens, and to the extent that they are not, let's say, in the financial concession business, whenever a project reaches a completion and starts operating, the question immediately comes up, you know, whether it would be the time for that construction company to sell its participation in a specific project, probably to a fund or to a financial investor or to a professional infrastructure toll road investor. So when you think about it, considering that we have more than 30 projects, I would say that would be an obvious trend and a trend that it's really, really starting. As far as we know, firsthand, there are a couple of sale processes going on as we speak. But in the recent months, other processes close. For instance, the sale to Patria of the Pacifico 3 concession, it was a very relevant transaction and shows or somehow proves what I just mentioned on what are the reasons why this is going to become a trend. Also, to the extent, for instance, that we continue to have volatility in Colombia and a weak peso and so on, it would be the case that these concessions may become attractive to investors looking, of course, to basically take advantage of lower prices because of the market situation. So I would say we'll be seeing that a lot, as I said before, and probably it's just normal that it happens. I don't think that trend that is starting reflects some sort of a distrust in the concession program. Not really. What I would say, it's totally the opposite. It's the normal course of business for the sector. And of course, one owner exits and another comes in, and usually, for instance, we are seeing a lot of international players interested in these concessions. And that's not minor because, of course, one thing would be saying, yes, there will be activity, but it will be entirely local, just formed by local investors and so on. But that's not being the case, actually. It's totally the opposite. And that shows how the international investor market continues to see the Colombian market.
Could you provide an example of a sale that we're going to see and an international player that is interested in it?
There are a couple of processes going on. We are participating in some of them. And what we are seeing is a rumor has been in the market, so I can talk about it. The potential bidders that you see are the usual suspects, right? Those usual suspects are usually major international companies, major funds, major international funds. So there's appetite. And I believe, as I said before, that this is going to be really a trend for the forthcoming years.
I have one final question. What can we expect in terms of new airport infrastructure projects? I understand that there is a tender going in November. I think it's DMAX, if I'm not mistaken. And then there's also Odinsa also has proposed the one in Cartagena, the airport. But I'm just curious as to whether these airports are obviously going to happen and what can we expect in that sector? What should we expect to see?
This is a very interesting sector because this is one of the, let's say, private sectors that has been in the good graces of President Petro. And the reason for that is because, of course, when you think about airport infrastructure, well, you're thinking about tourism and mobility within Colombia and internationally. And this is a government, for instance, that has said that they would like to build a very strong tourism platform for Colombia. So the airport infrastructure sector, it's a sector well perceived by the government. And going beyond that, actually, the Colombian government has embarked on a significant modernization and expansion program for this type of infrastructure. This program is driven by the need, as I said before, to accommodate growing passenger and cargo traffic, improve competitiveness, and attract, obviously, new investments. Currently, we are looking at the renovation of five major airports. This totals approximately a program of $3 billion. These projects are being structured as PPPs, with concession agreements typically ranging from 10 to 25 years. The projects that probably you will keep hearing about, it's the Rafael Núñez Airport in Cartagena, a new international airport for the Cartagena region that will be located in Bayunca, the Gustavo Rojas Airport in San Andrés, the airport for the city of Cali, and, as you said, El Dorado Max, which, of course, would be an iconic project for Colombia, the same way it was many years ago when it was converted into a concession. We have a very interesting panorama for airport infrastructure. Those projects are happening as we speak. We are at least working in financings for two of those projects. So I would say that's one of the sectors that hopefully will be only good news.
May I ask which two projects are you working on in financing in the airport, or you cannot say?
It's some of the ones I mentioned.
It's some of the ones you mentioned. Okay, I'll leave it at that. Thank you very much, Mr. Quinche, for talking to us. I certainly appreciate it very much, and I hope everyone enjoy this program as much as I have enjoyed it. And thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you, Eva.
And have a good day.